Blog Talk Radio.
Mercy. What gain is there in my destruction? In my
presence of the Lord. Jesus, for another opportunity to just to come before you. Oh, we run boldly to the throne through our jobs and our works, our travels, through ups and downs, trials, tribulations, our good times, our happy times we've shared today. Through it all, nothing is more important. Nothing is more important. I don't know, care what we've gained today, what riches we have held in our hands today, through the sadness of what loss we may have suffered today. We look forward to the time when we can come boldly to the throne of mercy. Hallelujah. Oh, we thank God that you've been with us all day. We've spoke to you. We're speaking to you all through the day. Whatever we're going through, dear Father, we're still speaking with you, and I thank you for giving us that opportunity. We may not even move our lips, but it's all in our minds, and our spirits is in covenant with you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for now the opportunity to just come together, all together. Lay it all down. Allow us, dear Father, to hear from you. Speak your word to us, Jesus. In the mighty name of Yeshua, it's my time now to decrease. And we welcome you, dear Father, to increase in our lives. Your word is a healing balm, dear Father. And we accept your healing balm tonight. Your word is the word that goes above all other words, all other names. Your name is powerful. And our hearts are receptive today. We open our arms and we receive you in the mighty name of Jesus. Do like only you can do. Speak like only you can speak. Comfort us, Jesus, like only you can comfort us. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you for hearing our prayers. Thank you for answering our prayers. We humble ourselves before you. In the mighty name of Yeshua, amen. Hallelujah. Peace for spirit. I love the peace for spirit with the anointing. He brings with it peace. He brings with the anointing joy. The Holy Spirit. Are you experiencing the Holy Spirit? Are you connected with the Holy Spirit? Oh, I thank you, Lord Jesus, for being God the Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for being God the Son. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for your precious gift of the God, the Holy Ghost. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that lives within us, that dwells within our temples. Hallelujah. For not leaving us alone, for leaving us with the Spirit. that beats our direction. Hallelujah. Fulfills our body, our strength. Propels us higher to you. Spirit connecting to spirit. Covenant. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We thank you for your church. Thank you for your church, Jesus. I thank you for all of your leaders that you have out there, the ones that are listening tonight, the ones that are going to be in the archives. Thank you, Jesus, for leaders all around the world. Praise the Lord. Sisters and brothers, I say hello. I pray that everything is going peaceful in your life. You may have been through some things today, good or bad, but right now, just being with the blanket of anointing, I pray that it's just, you're feeling it just like it am. I am. And if you are, then I know you can agree with me that this world can fade away all the problems that you've had or have. All of the things that has came, nothing compares to the anointing, to the love of God, to his mercy, to his arm wrapped around you. So we thank him for that. I thank God for you, for where you're at right now. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Our segment name today on this broadcast is the church. The church. Where are we at in the church? What are we doing in the church? What kind of church did you grow up in? Some of us just now have been introduced to the church. This may be your year that you're just starting to go to church. You may be even an elderly person, but still has never really been introduced to the church, never really got involved in the church, never really saw why you needed the church. Some of us may have been, like myself, in church all of your life, have saw different things go on in the church, and some of those things have pulled you away or have took you in different directions. Some of those things just are tradition to us, and it's just a habit now of just something that you do. It's just somewhere that you go. It's just something that you know that you're supposed to do. But it's more than that. It is a renewing of your spirit. It is a working process. We're not supposed to still be at the same place, stuck in that same sin. Because you can be in the church and still be separated from your Savior. Let's say it again. You can be active in the church and still have spirits, demonic spirits, that is tearing your kingdom down. You can be an active singer in the choir and sing and shout all over the church. But the same words that you sing about, you forget about when times of trials and tribulation come your way. Those are the things that we have to identify and remove out of our hearts, the church, our buildings that we build up. Preachers, leaders, teachers, evangelists, apostles, prophetess, I call you out. Because you know what I'm talking about. A leader can lead you only so far. But if your heart is hardened to change, if you're stuck in tradition and you see no need for change, then you may think that it's okay. You may think this is the way it's supposed to be. You go to the church. You pick your day, some Saturdays, some worship on Sundays. Some of you even go Tuesday night choir practice, Wednesday Bible study, and do the whole thing, but still never find a relationship with our Father. But yet and still, as we go into work, as we're traveling up and down the dangerous highways, byways, streets, or roads, and we see the center man running to park at the bar for happy hour, coming out of the bar, sitting and doing whatever, we have the tendency sometimes as saints to look down at them, and we will label them as sinners as though we never have been sinners. We forget that we were all born into sin. And we have to remember that just because they may get intoxicated in public while you're sitting in the church on the pew, but some of us can't wait to get home because we're going to do worse than what they're doing. We just didn't do it at the same time or at the same place. Can I get an amen? So we, saints versus sinners. Now, where is God in all of this? What is his role in all of this? What do you think that is on his mind? How do you think he feels when we verse each other like that? When we say that we are Christians, that word doesn't mean, people don't carry the meaning to that like it was supposed to be. Christ-like, trying to walk in the footsteps of Christ, trying to live every day of our lives, making decisions based on Christ's decisions, asking Christ about our decision, for discernment from the Holy Spirit to be directed in the right directions so we can look and be examples of Christ so that somebody may look at us and see something different than they see in the world. Well, the ones today now, we see so many different people that are doing everything that the world does, and they try to fit it around their life. So they try to throw a little God in here as they stirring up doing all the other things of the world. But then every now and then there's their God. Well, see, everybody got some God that they're worshiping. They may call him all kind of different names. They may drive around in their God. They may have merit the person that they consider their God. They may bow down and rub the belly of their God. Their God may be this pink cat that they worship so many times a day. Everyone has some God that they worship. But I introduce you to the God. I worship Jesus Christ. Jesus. You notice even on many shows or outings, different people will say God, but they do not allow them to say Jesus. Because you touch something when you say Jesus. It's different when you serve Jesus than it is when you just serve a God. Hallelujah. So now, if we can get more of Jesus in us, you just can't stay the same in the same position if you continue to seek Jesus. Because if you seek him, you will find him. The church, over 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ himself imparted his plan to reap the harvest of his church. Yet today, the earth has a population of over 5 billion people. but only approximately one-third has heard the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that's really something. All the technology that we have today, over 5 billion people, but only one-third has heard the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have satellite communication. We have all kind of technology that has the capability to preach the gospel to almost every person on the face of the earth. So why haven't we had a greater impact on our world? Why haven't the church had a greater impact on our communities? We're getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger as far as where we go to worship. But what about all of those thousands of people when they come outside of that worship hall? Why isn't their lives making a difference in their communities, on their jobs? Why are we not able to make a difference? Why have only one-third still have only heard about our Lord Jesus Christ? Is it something, what is it today that you did? Did anyone at your job see Jesus in you today? Did anyone in your community see Jesus in you today? Will they see Jesus in you tomorrow? We have to make sure that we are representing true Christians. True Christians. So again, you know, when it's different kind of assemblies, you may be a Baptist, you may be Assembly of God or Methodist, Catholic, any one denomination in particular, either one. You know, when Jesus was going to preach to the people, he just didn't go into the synagogue. He traveled near and far. And he spoke, worshiped, healed sinners. So why is it that we turn our nose down if a man that is intoxicated comes up and say, well, I think that you're a Christian. Tell me about your God. Why is it that we turn our nose to that person as though that he's something else, that we can't even talk to this man? He's less than us because we are a saint and they are sinners. We are the church. Why is it if they make their way up into our buildings and the place that we worship at, and they're not dressed the way we think they should be dressed, if they don't say the things that we think that they should say them? Now, hear me from the Spirit. I'm not saying that we are to allow anything to come and take the pulpit and start going off, but we should be able to get the one that we're looking at as a sinner and introduce him to our Savior. It's not about who we are, how far we've came. We should have open arms. That's our job. God is expecting us to reach down and bring somebody else to him. He gets no joy to see us sit on our high thrones and look down at somebody else. He wants none to perish. He told us to go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Hallelujah. I believe that every one of us must intensify our efforts to evangelize the world in order to reap the tremendous harvest that belongs to us. It's out there before us. The harvest is there. But where are the true laborers? Are we all set up inside of the church? Are we got all of our leadership? We're doing our duty inside of the church. You're there to usher when it's time to usher. You're there to sing in the choir when it's time. You're doing your duties inside of the church. But where are you at when you come outside of those walls? Why is it the sinner man can't call on you to pray for him? Why is it you can't evangelize on your job? Where are we at? We as the saints, where are we at? Hallelujah. Jesus himself was moved with compassion when he saw the great harvest of souls ready to be harvested. He didn't see the world as such a sinful place that it could never be touched. He saw it as the number one point in his vision to evangelize the world. We have our sword open. Let's go to Matthew. Matthew 9, 35 through 38. Matthew 9, 35 through 38. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then said he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. The harvest is plentiful. It's an opportunity for us in the church, a great opportunity for us to take great advantage. We need to take advantage of where we're at, what we've been through. Our testimony should now, we've got through our test. We should be able to share our testimonies with others. We should not forget about that we had to come over some stumps and hills, and we're still finding ourselves in the valley. Now that we've learned how to smile our way through our valley of shadow of death, we have to look and teach someone else who's still struggling with that. I know it gets sometimes you find a young baby and they're continuing to still cry out over and over when you think that you've got them to the point that they can just lean and just depend on the Lord. But we have to be patient. God is ever so patient with us. We have to be patient. And where do we need to start at? We need to start looking right beside ourselves while we're sitting on this church pew. Because remember, we're talking about how many people inside of your church, my church, have been going there all of their life. But they will fight you inside of the church. They can sing the song, but they can't apply the words to their own experiences. Why is it that we are going through divorce more than the world? Could it be because we're just memorizing something? We're just carrying a Bible but not reading a Bible? We know the preacher's name, but not exactly the preacher's message. We know the title of the sermon, but we don't know how to get that title and write it across our hearts. So then how then do the sinner on the outside of the church see us all dressed up, come out of there? He see us in the bar after we came from there. He comes to us on the job with gossip, and we get involved in the gospel just as quickly as they do. They see us when we pulling out of our driveways and go pick up someone else other than your spouse. The world is looking at us. The world is looking at us. we supposed to have a covenant relationship with our Father. So that means something. That means that we are disciples. That means that we have to watch and pray. We have to stay under the anointing. We have to take advantage of the opportunity to bring others into the kingdom. Most people have never taken advantage of the opportunity of the church because they see the lost as dirty old sinners. They see them just as that, sinners. They see them as something beneath them. But we said that we're Christians. Christ never walked around looking at sinners like the Pharisees did. However, we find ourselves, we walk around like the Pharisees. We in our three-piece robes, and we're looking down our nose at the lost. You know, we see someone on the bus stop knowing that they're trying to get to some church, and we'll pull up at the bus stop in our fancy cars because they may not have the clothes that we have, or they may not live in the same neighborhood, and the Holy Spirit can be nagging on us, telling us, pick the sister up, pick the brother up, ask them are they on their way to church, take them to your church. But we're past that opportunity up because we're set with something else. When we have tradition as our only set focus, then fear moves all in. We're fearful of this and we're fearful of that. And we can't feel or hear the anointing as it's tugging on our hearts. Because we don't have that relationship. We don't have that bond. So we're messing up some sinner out there who may want to come into the church, may want to get to know God because he's looking at your life. He's looking at your life. Hallelujah. If we are to be successful in evangelizing this world that we are a part of, we must see people as Jesus sees them. He never saw them as dirty old sinners. Thank you, Lord Jesus. But he always saw the sinners as what? Sheep having no shepherd. Hallelujah. That's where we all are. Sheep having no shepherd. We were born as sinners. Now we have been introduced and we know that he is our shepherd. Why are we holding him to ourselves? We got to spread out. We got to introduce him. Hallelujah. Again, it says in verse 36, it says when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion because they fainted. They were scattered abroad like sheep with no shepherd. Realize that your community, my community, is scattered abroad as sheep without a shepherd. Our young people, all during the night, walking the streets, doing things, trying to find gangs, anything, cliques to make them feel wanted, make them feel a part of something, make them feel special. Sheep looking for a shepherd. Are you the one that's going to pray for that one that you pass every day? It may not be the time for you to stop and say anything. But maybe your thing is that you're supposed to pray for that young person, those young people, that older man. Come in all ages. Just continue to pray. And if it's not you that's the one that's supposed to go up and talk to them or introduce them to the Lord, pray that God sends the person who is. But when you see lost sheep, let's just not send them astray. Let's start prayer as the first means to do something. And if it's your coworker, if it's somebody that you're in direct contact with, let's start stepping out. Let's start stepping out. Your community, seize the opportunity to direct them to the good shepherd, Jesus Christ. Because the enemy has someone else out there who is ready to direct them, to send them in the pathway of destruction. You can believe that. You see them self-destructing before your eyes. Take the opportunity. Seize that opportunity. And don't take so much on yourself. Say, God, this is your child. Talk to your father about it. Give me the words to say. Open my mouth and you speak for me to your child, to lead them back to you, the good shepherd. The world is worth winning for Christ. It is. God counts his wealth not by the gold streets, the pearly gates, or the jasper walls, but God counts his wealth by the souls that he possesses. See, when people get saved, the value of God's treasure goes up. His treasury goes up. We cannot impress God by the things which we possess in this life, but only by the souls that are saved as his gospel is preached. I can't save anyone. You can't save anyone. But God's word, God is the Savior. And he rejoices with all of his angels when just one soul is saved. When you see him face to face, how many is going to be on that side cheering you on? There she is. There he is. He's the one who introduced me to the Savior. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Your reward depends on what you're doing here. So your reward depends on how many you're leading to the shepherd. God bless. Hallelujah. I'm so thankful that Jesus did not ignore me when I approached him. Aren't you thankful he didn't ignore you? Just ignore you and go and say, no, he's not ready yet. She hasn't finished doing this. She hasn't got that out of her life yet. Hallelujah. He was lovingly. He looked straight into our hearts, and he saw my need for him. Jesus saw me as a sheep without a shepherd. Hallelujah. Even if the church may see you as a dirty sinner, he sees you as a sheep without a shepherd. He looks directly into your heart. That man looks at the outside, but God looks at the heart. He looks at your heart. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. He washed my sins away, gently clothed me with his robe of righteousness. Jesus thought that I was worth winning. So don't think for one moment that that person that you're passing on the corner, that he thinks any less of. People without any real religious faith, as the people that you're passing by, they're unresponsive to your previous efforts. You can't come and just lay everything down on them. You can't come and condemn them. But it's not the wrath of God that draws man to them. It's the love of God that compels man to God, that runs to say, what must I do to be saved, to know the Savior, to live a life like you, to feel the spirit that you feel? What must I do to be able to react the way you react when you're in situations going through trials and tribulations? But you still make it through. You still got your head held high. Tears may be running down your cheek, but you still got your hand out to help someone else. Someone may do you wrong or be speaking wrongly to you, but you're still able to hold your tongue, turn your cheek, and walk away. You're still able, if they needed food the next day, you're still able to supply their needs through the Lord Jesus Christ. The world is watching you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But they, the lost sheep, will respond when they see you living your life like this. Realize that they have been blind by the gods of this world. And they wandered into wrong pastures, basically. All they need is someone to introduce them to the good shepherd, that who can guide them in the way, the truth, and the life. Some of you are sitting under wonderful pastors right now, wonderful leaders that has brought you through all kind of trials and tribulations, has been there for you, led you and guided you, you and your family members, when you was going through all kind of things. You know that you can run to them, the ministry staff. You know that you can't wait to get up in the church because you're truly got your heart receptive to receive. But you won't introduce somebody that's on your job because, you say, no, they're not ready yet. They wouldn't understand it. Just invite them. Just invite them. If they say no, it's okay. Don't get upset with them. Let them know it's an open invitation. An open invitation. Start praying for them behind the scenes. That's why I like prayer. I love talking to God because it's behind the scenes. But I get to see all of the manifestation, how it's changing life. I get to see the one who vowed that they would never step foot in a church. I get to see when they set up beside me and now ask for directions, how do I get to your church? The one who says that I don't even believe there is a God, but call and ask me, can you come to the hospital? Pray for my child. Pray to your God. Tell me more about Jesus. Who is Jesus? So don't let just their reaction or their response right now, don't let that be the thing that you think that they're always going to react to. Don't keep your eye off of that. Just keep on keeping on. Keep on keeping on. Hallelujah. Because there are millions of people looking for a shepherd. But the church is giving them a religion instead of giving them a shepherd. And sometimes we get caught up and we start to idolize our leaders, our preachers, our teachers, our evangelists, our prophets and apostles. So now we want to put them as our God. We want to evangelize. We take their whole families and put them up on pedestals. People are looking for a shepherd. They'll take celebrities. She did good in this movie. That's my favorite celebrity. They'll buy everything from that celebrity. They want to do anything. They want to be by her. They want to touch her. They want to anything they can do to be in the presence of he or she, because they're thinking they found something that's going to fill that void. Maybe this is my God. Until they hear now that that same person, it's flesh, it's human, makes mistakes just like you. Now you're all downhearted. Now you're destroyed. You're depressed because you can't believe your God has let you down. Hallelujah. Just putting your hopes in wrong places, looking for a God. You go to church every Sunday, but you got your celebrities on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday looking for a God, still waiting on him to show up. Because when you go to church, you're not experiencing God. You're experiencing a religion. I challenge you today to put away your religion. Put away the whole religious whip. say, I'm going to try something new. Have compassion on the lost. Jesus sees not only souls that are outside, but those that are ready and willing to come inside. Each one is important to him. Jesus is the good shepherd that left the 99 to look for the one that was lost. Don't give up on that family member of yours. You say, well, he's just a black sheep. She's always been like that. Everybody else in the family has always found a relationship to God, but he, she, they've always been like that. Don't give up on them. That may be the one to turn around through your leadership. That may be the one when you stop versing them so much. I'm saint, you're sinner. That may be the one to come and turn the whole community around. That stands and make a stand for your whole city for the Lord. He left the 99 to go look for that one lost sheep. He will not let that one little lamb go. Who's your one little lamb that you're trying to push out of your life? Who's the one little lamb that you've already decided that I don't ever want to see him again? Who's that one little lamb that just keeps just getting underneath your skin? Who is your one little lamb? Don't you dare let that one little lamb go. It will be a great loss to God because he counts his wealth, again, by what? By the souls that he possesses. Hallelujah. For some reason or another, the church is always trying to shave the wolves, the sheep's wool. They get you in now, no, well, you need to do this, and you need to wear this, you need to act like this and act like that, but your personality needs to match this personality. We're all individuals. God has something set on this person that may not be set on you. The favor he has on him is for him to do his plan through that person, and the same for you. So when we get them into the church, let's remember not to try to shave them to make them look just like us, to make them talk just like us, to do the wave in the church. It starts amen here, and you must amen now, and it goes down and it goes around, and that's just a tradition. But let's all try to open our hearts up and be truly receptive to allow God to penetrate and use each and every one of us individually however he chooses. However he chooses. Let his Holy Spirit just dwell in each and every one of us. Hallelujah. Then we begin to worship. Then we become into a moment of praise. Hallelujah. Then he takes us higher. Higher. How high do you want to go with the Lord? The sky is truly the limit. Hallelujah. How much knowledge do you want to know about the Lord? How much anointing can you take of the Lord? Hallelujah. He will blow your mind. Hallelujah. He will blow your mind. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I love being in that presence, so it just makes me almost laugh because I love getting into that closet and just getting there and just take me away. Calgon can't do it. I tried that. But when I can just get my talik, cover my head, go to the Lord, and just not asking him for anything, but just worshiping with him. Just praising with him, just connecting with him, my spirit to his spirit. The Holy Spirit inside of me said, I got to connect with my Father. And I get that opportunity to go with him. and he takes me higher, and he shows me things that my eyes can't even understand sometimes what I'm seeing. I can't speak about it right away because I don't know what words to say that would even express what it is that I'm feeling that I need to say. Hallelujah. And then when I'm down, I still can't really just walk around my house like it was normal. Everything is just different. I'm just still walking on a cloud. And you just don't want to come down and think about you just doing this all day. You're at the grocery store and you're just still got a praise in your mind and in your mouth. Hallelujah. God bless you. I thank you, Jesus, for your love. Thank you, Jesus, for your love. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. There are millions of opportunities to preach. There are millions of opportunities to bring in the lost. There are millions of opportunities to show them and introduce them to the good shepherd, Jesus Christ. They're looking for a shepherd. Hallelujah. Now you're going to see many sheep tomorrow on your job as you're traveling back and forth. Don't forget. Don't just turn your head and say, look at that sinner. Look at me. I'm the saint. Don't forget. Offer a prayer in your mind. Print up a little card or something from your church. Somebody on your job that you may think they may say the worst things, be the biggest cursor. But ask God, how am I to approach them? Is this a sheep that I need to lead? All sheep need to be led to the good shepherd. Ask them for discernment. Where are you to start? God, this is yours. You know him better than me. I can't walk up and just approach him on my just me, flesh to his flesh. But the Holy Spirit, you're able to do all things. And you said this is yours. And you do not want to see any of yours perish. The Holy Spirit, dwell and speak to me. I need to hear from you on how to deal with your lost sheep. And let him speak to you. Hallelujah. Matthew 11:28 says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Why do you think they can't wait to just get intoxicated every day? Why do you think they can't wait to get paid so they can go get this drug, so they can go to the bar, so they can go and date over and over and over again? It's something they're trying to feel. They're looking for a feeling. They're looking for that feeling, that anointing that I was just speaking about. They're looking for that high that just won't last a few minutes. They're looking for that high that will take them through the ups and the downs, the mountains and the valleys, never leave them nor forsake them. They're looking for that high that they can pass on to their children and their children's children. But if you don't lead that lost sheep to the good shepherd, they're going to pass alcoholism on generations down. They're going to tell them, that's how we dealt with it. That's just how you deal with it. They're going to pass on being promiscuous down generations and generations and generations. That lost sheep needs our prayer. We're the church. We're the one that needs to be leading God's sheep back to the church. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And we never like to leave the broadcast without asking the important four words. Do you know Jesus? If you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, not what your mother knows, or your daddy may be a preacher, your daddy may know Jesus, but who do you call on when you're in need? when you're standing in the need of prayer, when you need a comforter, when you need someone that you can take your secret to, then you don't have to worry about it getting out. When you need someone to stand there in between you and that bill collector, you and that abusive spouse, a personal Lord and Savior, I'd like to take this opportunity to introduce you to the greatest friend you've ever had. Get ready to meet my Jesus Christ. Now, as you say these words, if you truly believe them and with your heart, then Romans 10, 9 and 10 says you will be born again, a new creature. Repeat the words. Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of all my sin. I ask you to cleanse my heart. Make me a new person in you right now. I believe that you are the Son of God and that you died on the cross for me. Jesus, I want to thank you for loving me enough to die for me. I accept all that your shed blood bought for me on the cross. And I receive you as my Savior and Lord. In your name I pray. Amen. Now, if you just prayed this prayer, congratulations. You are a new creature in Christ. And as 2 Corinthians 5:17 in the New Testament says, again, that's 2 Corinthians 5:17. Look it up. They're speaking of you. It says, all things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So you're a new creature in Christ. So start calling yourself a new creature in Christ. If you find yourself with that drink in your hand, you look yourself in the mirror and remind yourself, all things are passed away. I am a new creature in Christ, so I won't be doing this too much longer. This will stop. I'm going to set this down now. New creatures don't act like old creatures did. Once a caterpillar has went into the cocoon, he becomes a butterfly. He no longer has a desire to go back down on the sidewalk, on the ground, and crawl around like a caterpillar. He may land on the ground, but he always flies back up. So you may find yourself still picking up some of the habits, because they're just habits now. But you always got a way to find yourself away from it. Remind yourself, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Don't let nobody tell you, look, you're doing the same thing that you used to do. You keep it in your mind. You keep praying to the Lord. God, I'm a new creature. Show me my newness. Help pull me away from my old stuff. That old man is still tugging on me. Pull me away in your direction. I want to behold all the newness about this thing with you, my relationship with you. Friend, you have a whole new life with Jesus to look forward to, starting right now. Don't start by saying later on, but right now. Your slate is clean before God. You have a clean slate before God. Your spirit has been reborn because of Christ's great sacrifice and love for you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Christ is thinking about you. He only wants the best for your life. Christ is thinking about you today. Remember, Christ rejoices with all of his angels. Just because you have came to him, just because you are born again, just because now you have a right to eternal life, Christ and all of the angels are rejoicing. So I rejoice with you. We, the church, rejoice with you. We, the church, want God to now use you. I don't want to conform you. It is things that you're going to have to learn how to do in the Lord. But I don't want to take away the you that God has put in you. I want God to bring that up, bring that out, so that you, it can manifest to the world. So now you can go out, lead lost sheep to the good shepherd. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Someone inside of the church may have been there all of their lives. You, little you, is going to be the one that your life is going to show them how to get back to Christ, to get away from religion, to get to the true relationship. That's why you never let a person, regardless of how long they've been in the church, keep you from getting your relationship with the Lord. Hallelujah. You can always send me an email at walkwithmegod@aol.com. walkwithmegod@aol.com. Always leave me a message here at the broadcast. Or you can call me personally at 210-277-0495. Always feel free to come on to the show. Let's talk. Thank you, Jesus. You always, I always remind you to please leave a message, leave a comment, rate the show. But most of all, take what God has said and use it and apply it to your life. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you have said. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your powerful word. We know that your word right now is healing some sin-sick soul. We know that your word right now has been a comfort around someone who's just been disturbed all day long. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for who you are in our lives. Thank you, dear Father, for just relieving the stress that's on somebody's mind right now. Financial woes, I feel it right now. Somebody cannot sleep right now. They have a shoulder, like a burning in their shoulder. But we ask you to touch it right now, Jesus. Hallelujah. Somebody's worried about a young child that is not in their home. There was someone else, and they're not feeling that the child has been taken care of. But right now, ease their mind. Hallelujah. Be the protector over that little one. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your love, your peace, and your power. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. God bless you all. I thank you for taking out your time to being with us tonight. Bless all the ones that are in the chat room, all the ones that will be in the archive, and all the ones that are on the line. God bless you one and all. We do love you. Again, if any way we can help you, if you need a Bible, get in touch with us. If you have a prayer request, leave us a message. We pray for you 3 times a day. We push, so we pray until something happens. Get right, church. God is coming to take us home. We have to spread the word all over the world. Over 5 billion people, only 1/3 so far have heard the word. We got work to do. God bless you all. We love you. Good night.